Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
There's an upcoming arrest of the President of the United States. What kind of banana republic are we living in?
Alrighty, welcome back. Financial Guys Podcast here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Spiraza, Stefan Mihailu in studio today. Very special guest to start off our show based on the breaking news of this weekend.
Historic news. Joining us on the live line right now is Michael Caputo, former Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary in the Trump administration and now a really big wig with Americano Media. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, guys.
Yeah, let's get
nice to be home.
That's right. Well, first and foremost, how are you? How are things?
I'm good. You know, cancer's gone. I can see the moon. You know what I mean?
Life is good.
It's good. It's good. You know, I'm actually in Orlando, Florida, for the House of Representatives Republican Conference retreat, surrounded by 200-plus Republican congressmen. And I'll tell you, the word around here on this potential arrest is really, really negative.
Well, let's go to you, because obviously you're very close with President Trump. You work for him for many years and so many different levels in capacity politically on the government side. You know, what was your personal reaction to hearing the president's social media post that an arrest is imminent?
I've expected this for some time. You know, I've seen this many times. I've worked in many, many third world countries where former presidents have been arrested, former national elected officials have been arrested. It's a very common thing in the third world. And I knew we were headed to third world status with banks crashing around us and all the other problems we're facing in the Biden administration. This is just another symptom of our third world, his third world goals being achieved. You know, here's another thing, and I've told the president this in the past, I truly believe it, and it really hurts my soul to believe it, but I believe it. There are only two things that they have not tried to do to stop Donald Trump. Only two things. One of them is an arrest, and now they're going to do it. They were always going to do it, you guys, because this is a disordered, deeply, deeply disordered crew of Democrats and allies burrowed deep into the Department of Justice and the FBI and all across DAs now, Soros-funded DAs across the United States. They've been preparing for this for a long time.
Michael, again, you've been involved in politics for a long time. I mean, to me, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. This seems like a dangerous, slippery slope to go down. Where we start indicting and arresting people because they wear a red MAGA hat or because, you know, who knows? Because what if it was the reverse, right? If it was the reverse and we were trying to arrest Joe Biden today, I would say to myself, let's hold on a second, because I think that's really dangerous to just start arresting and prosecuting former presidents and politicians because we don't like them. That's very bad.
It's true. And I'll tell you what's really catching on across the legal arena is that the case here appears to be fairly hollow. And there's no intention of, I think, of even going to trial with this. The president's team would undoubtedly delay it, as anyone would. And it doesn't seem like the timeline even sees a trial until after the 2024 election. This is theater. The arrest will be theater. And I believe friends of mine in the Democrat Party are telling me that there's a very, you know, last minute and loud attempt to try and stop this. Because here is what's going to happen. Donald Trump will be reelected in acclamation, a landslide. He'll win the Republican primary easily. Ron DeSantis won't even get in if he's arrested. Look at how Ron. Look, I love Ron DeSantis. He's my governor. He's so much of an improvement over Albany, you can't believe it. But do you see his reaction to this rumor that there's going to be an arrest? Zero reaction. He's frozen, absolutely frozen. Donald Trump wins the nomination. Donald Trump wins the election, the general election. And then retribution begins.
Well, let's talk about that, Michael, because that is an important point that is going across social media and the Republican universe, that you have Vivek Ramaswamy, you have Mike Pence condemning the upcoming arrest, but radio silence from Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. How do you think that's being taken in Trump world?
Oh, I know for a fact how that's being taken in Trump world. They expected it. You know, there has been a rumor of a pending, you know, an imminent indictment for several weeks. And those of us in Trump world have been talking about what we can expect from this. Nobody expected a quick reaction from either of those politicians. And like I said, I'm very, very fond of DeSantis. I think he's performing right now as I expected him to. He's frozen in ice right now because this is a very difficult situation, not just for Donald Trump. It's difficult for all of us. And listen, like I said, for me, this has always been coming. You know, there was a time a couple of years ago when the president told me they'd never dare arrest me. And now he's the one that believes he's going to be arrested. Times have truly changed.
But, Michael, in presidential politics, as you know, a lot of times you have to strike while the iron is hot. You can't talk to consultants. You can't talk to other people on what you should or should not do. And again, the former vice president, Vivek Ramaswamy, very quickly came out of the gate and said this is wrong. But there's been dead silence from Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. What do you think that happens and how that impacts the Republican primary?
Well, I do think that both of them will come out with firm, what do they call it, a sternly worded letter, right? and then go back into the shadows. I expect them both to be, this is an abuse of the rule of law. This is a third world activity. And, you know, look, Nikki Haley served in the United Nations, so she had lunch with a lot of third world leaders in her time. So I expect that the problem is what the damage is. You're seeing it across social media now where people are saying, hey, look, you know, Ron DeSantis isn't saying a word. I am a strong Ron DeSantis supporter. No more. It's starting to truly affect his ability to recruit away frustrated America firsters, people who are tired of all the drama that the Democrats stir up around Trump, and they're ready for a change. If you look at Mark Thiessen, who's a columnist from The Washington Post, a Fox News contributor, he's predicting that as well. Mark is a very dear friend of mine for 30 years. Mark is a supporter, no longer a supporter of the president. He sees this as a disaster for every other candidate.
Michael, I'm going to kind of follow up on what I said before about this being a slippery slope. You then followed up with retribution begins. What does that mean in English for people out there saying, what is the retribution, right? What is going to happen? What is Donald Trump going to do?
It's a damn good question.
Well, this is difficult for me, you know, as someone whose family was completely destroyed by the weaponization of the federal government, as someone who even today endures threats to my family, to my children, to my daughters, who are neither of them are in their teen years yet. I want these people to pay. I want them to go to jail or worse. That is deep in my soul. But I'm telling you, I'm now in my third semester of my theology master's program. And I'm reading St. Augustine right now in a seminar on all of his greatest works. And I know calling for that kind of revenge is wrong. It's so difficult for me to say, just make sure this doesn't happen again. I want these people to suffer, but it's wrong to think like that. I have to adjust my attitude. Slippery slope, yes. But every religion, every God, every set of scriptures in the world tells us that we cannot act like them. It's real difficult for me to admit that. But we have to just make sure this doesn't happen again.
But you know the former president. What do you think retribution will mean for him if he's reelected and becomes president again in 2024?
Well, I'll tell you, if you heard that whole line from his speech at CPAC, he said, to those who were abused by the federal government, I am your retribution. Donald Trump was talking to my daughters. Donald Trump was talking to my wife, to my parents, to my wife's parents. He was talking to all of us, right? He was talking directly to us. And, you know, he and I haven't connected since that speech. We're going to have a talk very soon. If he wants retribution for me and my family, I'm going to have a very difficult time, but I'm going to try to disabuse them of the notion that we need to be harder on them than they were on us. You know, there is punishment for these crimes. There is justice for these people. But part of justice for me and my family is not torturing them like they tortured us. I just can't do it. I want to, but it's not right. And the slippery slope here is that Republicans start acting like Democrats. We must not do it.
Amen to that. Last question for you, Michael. I know there's been a lot of talk on our side of the aisle of saying if there's going to be protests, make them peaceful. Let's not make this a January 6th again. What are your thoughts on that when it comes to being respectful in protest so that the left can't come and say, ah, see, Trump incited a riot. He did it again.
Well, I'll tell you this. If there's a long line at the grocery store, I'm not getting in it in case somebody says it's a protest. You know, this is another January 6th. This is another opportunity. I know these people. They came after me. I was in the room with these people. I was interrogated by the House, the Senate, and Mueller. I know these people. They are deeply, deeply and fundamentally disordered. They sat around a table or on some Zoom call and said, hey, one of the upsides of this is there will be violence and we can paint it as like we did January 6th. How sick is that? How sick is it? My advice to Trump supporters is call in sick to work. You know, don't pay up. Just find another way to protest. But don't get a long line at the grocery store, because outside they'll be arresting you in FBI jackets.
I just want to know where Ray Epps is this week. Can we get a camera crew on him instead of Pelosi's right. camera crew? Let's get one on him this week.
Listen, I'm trying to work up my Ray Epps costume for Halloween. I just can't gain enough weight.
That is Michael Caputo, dear friend of the Financial Guys Media Network, former Trump Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services. God bless you, brother. It's always good to hear from you. And please give our best to your family.
Hey, you guys, great job on this podcast. It's just getting better and better. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, appreciate brother. That, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You know, it is interesting, the reaction from Michael Caputo when it comes to vengeance.
Yep.
I mean, that was a really good question, and you kept going back to that because you can hear it, and then when you hear it from him in that passion about, whoa, there's an upcoming arrest of the President of the United States, what kind of banana republic are we living in?
And I'll say this, look, I mean, people that know me know I'm a very, a big grudge holder, right? I always hold a grudge. I've always done that way. Yeah, you
would. Come on, are you serious?
I am a grudge holder. I remember things that people told me 15 years ago, and I live with those every day in a good way. I use it as motivation, right? But I think this is something I'll say about Trump, Stefan. As much as I want him to be a grudge holder, I think he needs to be careful, right? You don't want to just turn America into a civil war, which I think could happen in the next couple decades. And I really believe that, because if we keep going this route where the left hates the right so much and the right hates the left so much, and now we're attacking political candidates like we are right now, this is really dangerous. I want Trump to be tougher on certain things if he gets reelected, no doubt about it. But I don't want this to turn into he's going to jail, we're arresting this guy, we're taking that guy. You can't do that. I think that's dangerous.
Well, again, it is let's say the shoe was on the other foot.
Yeah.
Because Hillary Clinton got jammed up when it comes to campaign finance.
Yep.
She paid a fine. Barack Obama, I believe, paid one of the largest fines in U.S. history to the Federal Elections Commission for that. Paid a fine.
Yep.
There was no mugshot. There was no handcuffs. There was no perp walk. And yet, can you imagine if a Republican DA or a Republican official slapped handcuffs on Barack Obama or on Hillary Clinton, and they haven't slapped handcuffs on Hunter Biden yet?
Right.
Can you imagine if we had done that to a Democrat?
No, and I can, because it would have happened. If it was Barack Obama, it would have been, see, we're inherently racist, right? If it was Hillary Clinton, it would have been, see, women aren't treated equally in our country. This is truly, to me, I'm going to read my tweet from this morning, because this says it, I believe, in the best way I can. I knew Trump derangement syndrome was bad, but it is truly amazing to see the left and the liberal fake news media since the Trump arrestment announcement. What do I mean by that? This is mental disorder, at its finest, right? Trump derangement syndrome, which I also now have coined Tucker derangement syndrome because it's very similar. These people can't do it, Stefan. They're mentally unstable. And if you look at the liberal media and you look at liberal politicians, I'm gonna use Adam Kinzinger because, as you know, I went after him this weekend too. That guy is so infatuated with Donald Trump and getting him to never be able to run again. It's sick. You're sick.
It's just crazy. Come think of it. But it's one of those things where I'm just in shock, like that you're basically, according to Donald Trump, going to arrest the former president of the United States. But this is the Democrat playbook, though.
Yep.
This is what they do. They overplay their hand. They overplay their hand. Now, if I were a Democratic strategist, and I am not by any way, shape, or form, the last thing I would do is place Donald Trump in handcuffs. The last thing I would do from a purely political perspective mm-hmm. is place him under arrest. Because that's all you're going to do is energize the Republican base to come out in full force for whoever the Republican nominee is going to be for president in 2024. They overplay their hand, though. They can't just say, okay, we'll let the voters decide, because if you look at the data, a lot of the polling had President Biden, I don't know how, doing a decent job against President Trump.
And I'll say this, Stefan. We talked a lot this weekend. His base is getting stronger, and the left can say, oh, his base isn't big enough, or, oh, no. There's people in the middle, too. Like, I know I'm going to use family as an example. I had family, Stefan, that 2 months ago were like, yeah, I'm out on Trump. I'm sick of this. Like, it's one thing after the next. After this weekend, they're like, yeah, I'm back on the Trump train. Because this is getting so outrageous. And I hate to play the movie card, but it's like the underdog story now, right? It's like Rocky going into Russia in Rocky IV and beating Drago, right? Like, that's what this almost feels like. You're just putting Donald Trump, you're trying to bury him so hard that now it's just like, wait a minute, this is just weird. It's not making sense anymore. And to be honest with you, I don't want to live in that America. That's what people think.
And they're criminalizing politics. That is what's
dangerous.
Scary. Because if they can do this to the former president of the United States, who says they can't do this to a governor, a state assembly member, yep. a county legislator,
us.
Or a member of the school board, or a member of the media
yeah.
when it comes to that? That's what's really dangerous and scary, is that for Republicans and people like us on our side of the aisle, we can disagree without being disagreeable with someone who's a Democrat, who's a socialist. And you know what? Shake hands after a healthy debate, have a beer, and be done with it. But the Democrats overplay their hand, and they criminalize politics. That is what they do in banana republics. That's what they do in third world countries, not the United States of America.
And what's worse, maybe worse than the fact that they're doing it, is how many people, and I'm not saying media even, Stefan, how many just normal American citizens don't understand or see a problem with it? That's what's scary to me. If you go on Twitter and you look at the comments and what people are saying, there are a lot of people out there that are like, yeah, he should. This should go on. Like, this is really dangerous. And I'm not saying because it's Donald Trump. I'm saying, again, I said it this morning. If this was Biden, and even I said this during the impeachment stuff, Stefan, the idea to just keep impeaching a president is not a good bet, right? Like, that's not the path you want to go on. That's a really, really scary, slippery slope. I keep using that word because that's what we're doing. I think, would you agree, impeaching a president four times is not a good thing to be doing?
And look, if the Republicans who now control the House have no grounds whatsoever to impeach President Biden, or you know, sane, normal, healthy Republicans would say, you know what, you shouldn't be weaponizing the impeachment process just because you want to score cheap political points against the president. We would condemn that. Because we're rational, normal human beings. And I keep going back, Spiraza, when it comes to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas, Trump's former press secretary, who said following President Biden's State of the Union, she hit the nail on the head back then, and it's relatable now. The country now is not right versus left. It's normal versus crazy. And charging President Trump over something like this is crazy. It's yep. deranged, and yep. it's going to backfire badly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'll say this. We've talked about Vivek Ramaswamy. He came out defending the president. When Mike Pence comes out and defends the former president, what does that tell you, right? Mm-hmm. Those two guys are not close. Those two guys are not friends anymore. But he came out just like Vivek did and said, this is wrong. And Stefan, to pivot from Trump and go to the 2024 election for a minute, We heard from Michael Caputo. I feel the same way. Ron DeSantis being quiet, and Ron DeSantis, and I'm going to take out Nikki Haley for a minute because I don't think she has a chance like Ron DeSantis does. I think this is going to hurt Ron DeSantis in a big way. Not only Trump getting arrested, but also the fact that Ron stayed quiet on this. That's not a good step for him in the presidential race in 2024. Nikki Haley as well. But, you know, I think Vivek did a really nice thing this weekend for himself by defending the president, because a lot of conservatives, myself included, were like, you know what? That was a smart move. You care about America. You care about politics. You care about our elections and our country as a whole. I think that was very smart on his point.
Well, it's, you know, you go to Mike Pence, you go to Vivek Ramaswamy. It's, okay, put principle over politics. And that's all that is. Any normal, rational person, Mike, whether a Republican or Democrat, can say, my God, they're going to arrest the president of the United States over this? Yeah. Where Barack Obama had a campaign finance violation, paid a fine. Hillary Clinton paid a fine.
Yep.
I mean, this was so many years ago, it may not even be within the statute of limitations.
Yep.
It's crazy that they're doing this. But yet, you know, you find out who your friends are in a foxhole.
Yep.
You really do.
Yep.
And when everything hit the fan, there were conservatives and Republicans who condemned it, and others were not. And I think our community of shared-minded individuals will never forget that.
Why is Ron DeSantis, do you think he's waiting for the actual arrest, or do you think he is what Michael Caputo said is frozen?
I can't imagine being a candidate for president of the United States, and even from a crisis communications perspective, to think, silence is golden on this one. I think I'm going to sit on my hands and zip my lip and not say a word. I'm scratching my head, and so many people like Mike Caputo are scratching his head as well, thinking, what the hell are they thinking by staying silent and not saying a word? It's bonkers. It's mind-blowing that a lot of people are staying silent on it, because right is right and wrong is wrong, regardless of the politics of a situation.
Let's talk about our favorite state of New York. Of course it's New York, right, Stefan? Of course we're in the news for all the wrong reasons again. Our moron DA in New York City decides to charge Trump. What does this say about our state?
It's time to leave. Time to leave. Think about Alvin Bragg. He is letting out violent felons, and not charging to the highest stature that he could when it comes to violent felonies and violent crime in New York. But they're going after former President Trump for something that allegedly happened 7 years ago, and something that, even if you admit on the merits, and which I do not, that it's a legitimate issue, then at most it's a fine or a misdemeanor, at most. But what it says about New York is that George Soros and the extreme left have hijacked district attorney's offices across the country, including Manhattan, including New York, and they are weaponizing politics and basically using the DA and criminal processes to take out political opponents, and it's wrong.
So I always ask you my political questions because I'm always interested to know your opinion on things. I'm going to ask you what I asked you via text yesterday, and sure, I'll let the listeners know what you told me. Does Trump have the ability to go after Alvin Bragg, or what does this mean for Alvin Bragg going forward?
Oh, if he runs again in New York City, he wins by a landslide. I mean, think about, you got to look at the data of an electorate. And the data in New York City is that it's 7-1 Democrat, 8-1 Democrat. And you have all these limousine liberals in Manhattan saying, go get President Trump. So as far as Bragg, Alvin Bragg, is concerned, that guy just punched his meal ticket if he wants to be a DA forever. Because if you look at the data, it is a 7-1, 8-1 Democratic city, New York City, Manhattan. And so they support it. They love it. They think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, letting criminals go and then charging President Trump.
And I'll say this, too. Michael Caputo didn't finish his thought, I don't think, when he talked with us. He said there's one of two things that's going to happen with Donald Trump. And the first one he said was they're going to arrest him. He didn't say what number two was. And I think number two is what we all think it would be. They literally can't get him out of the ability to run or as the president. And somebody tries to kill the man. Like, I'm serious about that. Pray for this man, because this is not good, right? This, the left, I truly believe this, the left, the fake news media, leftists, not politicians, just leftists, period. These people are going to do anything. Like, I'd have taste testers. I mean, he's got private security all the time and Secret Service. But I mean, that's really where I think we're going, Stefan.
He drinks a lot of Diet Coke.
He drinks a lot of Diet Coke.
Make sure someone else takes a sip first.
Seriously, though. I mean, and I'm not trying to be funny, obviously. That's scary stuff. But don't you agree? Like, what if they can't get him on this, what are they going to do?
I can't believe we're even having this conversation in the United States of America. I mean, my family fled a communist regime, and if someone said, oh, yeah, that happened when your grandparents lived on the Ukrainian border and fled just before World War II, I'd say, yeah, I can see that happening in communist Russia. I can see this happening in communist China. I can see that happening there, but the United States of America, what the hell is happening to our country? It's sad.
Let's talk about a few, though, because that's a great point. So let's talk about the last 5, 6, 8 years. Okay. They censored social media. Who does stuff like that? I don't know. China, North Korea, places like that, right? They're censoring social media. They're going after now, not once, twice, seven times, 10, 12, 100 times they've gone after Donald Trump and made him a political martyr. Is that the best way to say it? I mean, that's what they're doing. They're making him a political hostage, is what they're doing with this guy. Right. So that's another example. They're talking about making a centralized bank where they can essentially tell you what you can and can't spend money on. They've told you that you couldn't go out in public during a virus that had a virus outbreak in our country. I mean, they told us that we couldn't open our stores or we couldn't open our businesses. We couldn't eat out in public with people. You had to be that. This is all within 5, 6, 8 years. And I'm not even done, but I'm just going to stop there for now. That's insane.
And it really breaks my heart because we do, despite our problems, our struggles, we do live in what is the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. And I'm really torn because there is a debate raging now within the conservative community. You heard it at CPAC, whether moving forward there's going to be a national divorce or a national revival. And up until this weekend, I've been fighting and saying, come on, let's have a national revival. You know, the Ronald Reagan message of a shining city on a hill. You know, let's beat our so-called political adversaries with logic and thought and better ideas and leading a national revival to make America the great place that it once was. And after Saturday, where President Trump announced his imminent arrest, I'm really struggling with that notion of what direction do we want the country to move in, a divorce or a revival?
I got to be honest with you, though. I think, Stefan, a revival, it takes two sides to tango, though. If only one side's willing to have that revival or that, you know, wake-up call and the other side isn't, you can't, right? You're almost down the path of you have to go a divorce at this point. If two sides, if the Democrats won't work with the Republicans and the Republicans feel like we can't work with these people because they're going to try and take us out, how do you have a revival?
It's sad.
It's a 50-50 split. Really, it is.
I know. And literally, you heard that at CPAC, though. You heard Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think who says divorce, divorce, divorce when it comes to the United States of America. And then you hear others saying, no, wait a minute. This is a great country. It's worth fighting for. Let's have a revival. And I think Saturday's arrest just put a lot of rational thought people into the column of screw this. We want a divorce. Where in New York State, they're saying let's split New York State. In Oregon and Idaho, let's split away from Portland. And I think it adds to that thought of, you know what? Let the lunatic left have their own little section of the country on each coast, and then let everybody else live their peaceful lives.
I think the messaging of the 2024 election is, are you going to vote for freedom or are you going to vote for control? Because those are really the two things that we're battling right now. People like us that feel like I want my freedom to do what I please. That's realistic, of course. I don't mean bringing kids to drag show story hour. I mean, I want to go to a restaurant and eat and not have to wear a mask or get vaccinated. I want to send my kids to public school without having them have a shot in their arm for a COVID vaccine. They have a 0% chance of dying. Realistic freedoms is what I think people like us fight for, okay? The left fights for, they say they want freedom, but really they love being controlled, right? They love being told what they can and can't do. That's not healthy, right? And again, they also like freedom to do things that are not normal things in society, like taking kids to drag shows. like forcing vaccinations on people because they think that's going to help not have a flu breakout, right? The left is their mind is warped, Stefan. I think that's the best way to say it. They are so warped and they are so illogical. They're so irrational and they're just. Again, they're deranged. I think that's the best way to say it.
It's sad, though.
It is sad.
Because
it is sad.
There's no way to live your life.
It is sad.
I mean, you know, folks like us, we have a balance. We love our work. We love being conservatives. We're very passionate about that. We love our families. But, like, they are just so hell-bent living 24-7 destroying Donald Trump, destroying the United States of America. That is just no way to live your life.
Real quick before we finish up, did you see the video of Fauci going into the
what a disaster
African American neighborhood and pushing the vaccine?
If you haven't seen it yet, we could
can play it actually. I think
let's add that clip because it is just pure gold. Where it appears as though a camera crew was following around literally Dr. Fauci in neighborhoods across the country, trying to push the vaccine, trying to push the boosters, and he went into predominantly African American community and. I think he got a reception that he was not expecting at the front door. Do you have it ready?
Well, we're having some Wi-Fi issues. I'm going to pull it up. But it reminded me of like a – this guy's a Cutco knife salesman, but for the vaccine, right? Like now he's going door to door asking people like, hey, can you take this vaccine? There's no doubt about it. This guy is making – money per every shot that goes in an arm, right?
Hey,
it has to.
Let's put some dirt on your carpet and let me show you this vacuum cleaner that you need to buy for $500.
Buy the dirt devil. All right, hold on. Here we go. Here's Dr. Tony Fauci in a predominantly African-American neighborhood selling vaccines.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccination.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science.
Okay, hold on. COVID came out 3 years ago. Why were you 17 years prior to that creating a vaccine for it? Doc. Why 20 years of research on this specific virus? Did you know this was coming? Unbelievable. I'll continue.
Get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's
much more serious than the flu.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year.
Virtually none.
About 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You going to pass.
Yeah, definitely.
Dr. Fauci was very uncomfortable there.
When you're presented with facts that go against the grain of what you're trying to push. And that was just an everyday American who they just knocked on the door.
And think about what Fauci said there, too. I think we kind of glossed over that. He's like, well, not last year. Not really anybody died of the flu last year. So the flu just went away? We solved the flu?
It never happened.
It went away. The flu's gone.
Well, guess what? Maybe seniors wouldn't have died if you didn't take seniors stricken with COVID and shove them into nursing homes around other than healthy seniors, and you killed them across Michigan, you killed them across New York. And what about people that just died of cancer, heart attacks, things like that, who happened to have COVID when they died, and it wasn't a determining factor in their death? What about that? And I can't believe zero people died of the flu.
I know.
That's amazing.
We solved a century-long problem in
Go
1
America.
Year. Vaccines, baby. Take them. And Stefan, I think, again, just to talk a little bit before we finish about what we've seen the last 4 years, right? Well, I'm going to say 8 again. When Trump ran the first time, the craziness that caused in terms of not by the right, by the left making crap up 24/7. Then we went into Trump's next election, right? And miraculously, we had a COVID-19 outbreak that threw the whole country for a loop, right? And then it was a vaccine came out that Trump pushed, by the way. And then it was, we'll never take that vaccine. that orange man, he made that. It's bad, right? Then Trump gets, we'll say, a little skeptical on whether that was a fair election or not, considering Joe Biden, that can't finish a sentence, got 81 million votes, more than Obama, fine. Then it's the vaccine's the greatest thing in the world. We're here. Take it. We're going to make it, right? Then it's coming out over the last couple of years. Masks don't work. The vaccine might actually be killing people. Now it's Trump's running again. He's pissed off and he's back, baby. And now it's we're going to arrest him, right? I mean, everything. You can't make this stuff up. It's just like a roller coaster of nothing.
I'm telling you, and how it relates to New York State, I can almost guarantee, and I bet my paycheck on it, that they are going to require children in school to be vaccinated with the jab for COVID in order to register to take any class, to go into any school in New York State. I'm telling you, that's the next step. They're not done. They're not done in any way, shape, or form. They're now going to people's homes, pushing the jab, and it wound up ending in disastrous consequences for Tony Fauci. And I'm telling you, they're not going to end by going to your door. In New York State, they're going to require it for children to go to school.
Yep, that's New York, folks. Great district attorneys pushing vaccinations. Now quarantine camps, they're talking, that's on the table. This is New York State. You got to love it. Stay here. This is going to really keep people here, keep this state growing, I'm sure.
This was a damn good show.
It was a good show.
If I may say so myself. I throw all humility out the window? Not that I have any to begin with. But this is a damn good show.
I said on the morning show this morning, happy Monday, everybody. So happy here today. A lot of anger on the Financial Guys media this week. We are going to be, this is Stefan and I's podcast, obviously. Mike and Glenn will be Wednesday. Mike Hayflick and I will be Thursday. Live radio show from Motorama on Saturday at the Buffalo Convention Center. You should stop by. Come for a beer and join the show with us for a little bit.
I'll bring the kids, actually. Yeah, I'll bring the boys.
It'll be a nice little afternoon. If you need us throughout the week, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS, Financial Planning, Wealth Management, certified, AHIP certified, I should say, Medicare reps here in our office, home and auto insurance, group health insurance, life insurance, Social Security planning, college planning, you name it, we do it here, a one-stop financial shop. If you want to text us, love us, hate us, want to tell us to talk to somebody, interview somebody, you name it, 716-817-0716. Financialguysmedia.com. Don't forget about our new morning shows, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on our Twitter, which is at FinGuys, and on financialguysmedia.com. I'm going to keep plugging this because it's getting closer and closer. July, Stefan, Mike Hayflick, and I will be headed down to a Turning Point USA event in West Palm Beach, Florida, to do a bunch of interviews and do some live recordings, podcasts, radio shows, you name it.
Hey, just like last year at Tampa. I mean, you were a machine. You were like Mike Wallace getting in there with, you know, all the heavy hitters in the Republican Party. You did a great job.
If you could have seen that show last year, I had Stefan throwing me in there, telling me, just get in there. You're 6'4". Just get in there. I had you, and then I had Kathy Cable and Horan with the camera ready to go. So we had some fun last year. Going to do that again this year, but we're also going to probably be doing a booth and have live interviews with politicians and people of the like coming and sitting down with us for maybe a little bit more extended conversation this year.
Amen to that. Good stuff.
Any parting thoughts?
I still cannot believe this is the United States of America, but you know what? There's going to be a lot of breaking news that comes out of this very podcast with Michael Caputo and his comments on the upcoming Trump arrest. So you know what? Stick with the Financial Guys Media Network. Good stuff happens here.
And we will have more on this Wednesday morning on our morning show and also Friday morning on the morning show, because I'm sure this week will be there won't be a dull moment this week. Again, folks, need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. Text us, 716-817-0716. Find us online at financialguysmedia.com and thefinancialguys.com. Until next Tuesday, we will see you next week.